look at the ramifications of what he is doing, because in this bill, which is, what, 1060? Is that the number of it?
1060. Yes. 6050. 6050.
In my opinion, and that's all it is, he's just put too much power in the hands of too few people who are very, very concerned about not necessarily your good health. Although, on the surface of it, you would think they were, the American Medical Association. In short, that gives them the power to even open the mail. Now, here in the United States, we just don't like to see anybody opening our mail. If they think maybe somebody is talking about a cure that's not sanctioned by the American Medical Association and things such of this nature. And we'll do everything we can to try to get Todd Pepper here and the AMA here and perhaps some other representatives to look upon what that is doing to individual freedom and my right and your right to take care of my own body the way I want to. Thank you. Anything else you want to say on that?
No, I feel certain that if this was made sort of clear to him, that I think he could do a lot to put that right.
Well, I hope so. I certainly have a great deal of regard for him. Is there anything else that you personally would like to touch upon in what you're doing before we go on to our callers? Because they are stacked up here. They want to get to you and talk to you.
No, let's get on with the callers, I think. This must be a good one.
Well, I don't want to miss anything that you have to say. that's not our style. Okay, we have right here Myrna. Welcome aboard.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm so happy to have something like this. I'm wondering, is this a series of treatments, or do you have a treatment, say, for a week? If I went to Toronto, how long would it take me to, say, get over being a borderline diabetic?
Well, it depends on the diagnosis, and also depends on how long you've had it. There's so many things that have to be taken into consideration.
Yes.
But in all probability, no, it wouldn't need a lot of, what should I say, backwards and forwards treatment. In all probability, once the treatment had been started, I mean, we'll say several treatments, and then corrected a diet was given to you, and corrected homeopathic medication, this could then be carried on at home. So therefore, the process would not be a long one.
I see. And how about plaque in the blood vessels? Have they gotten anything on that?
Yes, this has also been treated by cymetics. We can affect the bloodstream with it and also the areas of blood with cymetic. Yes, treatment has been given, and this could be given at the clinic in Canada.
Uh-huh. Thank you so very much. Bill, your program is wonderful.
Well, Myrna, thank you very much for checking in with us, and stay with us throughout the evening.
I certainly will.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And we have John on the line, or Joni. Got it wrong both times, huh?
Oh, well, it's close. It's Johnny.
Johnny, okay. J-O-H-N-I.
Right. Well, I wanted to just talk about the homeopathic remedies.
Yes.
And I got in late on the talk, and I thought you were saying something about not having those treatments in this area, or is that just about the music therapy? It's not necessary. Because there is homeopathic doctors around Los Angeles. There's oodles of them.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there are. That's true. But you have no homeopathic teaching hospitals or anything here, you see?
Oh, that's right.
That's the great problem. So, therefore, if you have students now coming up, there is no teaching hospital available for them. There were many at the beginning of the century in this country, but now they've gradually all disappeared. So, therefore, you haven't any at the present moment, and
right.
There should be.
The doctors have all trained elsewhere that I've talked to.
Most of their training is being done in Europe, yes.
Right, or in India or various
That's
places.
Right, yes.
Right. And, yeah, there's a standard homeopathic pharmacy in L.A. that has a list of the doctors, if anybody needs to...
Oh, well, that's fine, because we've had someone asking that. I'll pass that information on.
Right, and it's in the phone book, and it's just downtown. They go down and pick up lists of, like, three or four pages,
That's fine. Good.
Also, what can you do about chicken pox once someone has contacted them?
Go to bed, take two aspirin, and
no,
drink lots of water.
The there's a homeopathic remedy for everything.
That's right. Yes, there is.
Just everything.
Yes, there is a homeopathic remedy for that. And another great, what should I say, asset to the homeopathic remedy mm-hmm. is that it clears it from the system itself. You see, invariably, with chickenpox, in later life, you get shingles.
Mm-hmm.
And shingles really is only the deposit within the structure of the spine of the germ, bug, virus, or bacillus, whichever you like to call it, of the chickenpox. But if you take a homeopathic remedy to clear it, there is no return to that. But it is not a specific remedy. It has to be adjusted to the individual. That's why it's a far more meticulous form of treatment. But if you go to a homeopathic physician, I mean, he will give you something. He can also give you something so that if you're open to infection somewhere, that you can take it to protect yourself. So therefore, if the old idea that if you have several children and one gets chickenpox, you put them all in together and get them all chickenpox together, which was the old idea, need not necessarily be at all. They can be given a prescription which will keep them immune from it.
All right. Let's say you have one child that has the chickenpox and you have the other one's the homeopathic remedy. Does every time the child that you gave the remedy to gets exposed to chickenpox, do they need to have that remedy again? Or will they already have immunities?
Invariably, they hold an immunity. There's very seldom that you get a return of it, even without the remedy. Once you've had it, you are immune to it.
But
what does happen is that it crops up later in life in another form.
What I mean is the child that didn't have it, the brother or sister who he gave the remedy to so that they didn't get the chickenpox,
yes.
They didn't develop symptoms.
Yes.
If they're later exposed to chickenpox again.
Then give it to them again.
Okay. That
oh, yes. Yes, yes. I give them the same dose again.
Great. I want to also tell you that my daughter was having recurrent ear infections, middle ear infections, just continually. Was like on antibiotics, would get off, get a cold, get an ear infection.
Yes.
Treated her with homeopathics, and she hasn't had one in 4 years.
Good, that's excellent.
It's wonderful.
Yes, good.
Great, and I just appreciate you being on and still having you there so that people can find out there are alternatives to the standard medical approaches to things.
That's right.
That, and I hope that the bill doesn't get passed in the House of Representatives or in the Congress because...
Write a letter.
You guys will... Oh, yeah.
That's right. Send a letter in.
You'd be gone. Okay.
All right, Johnny, thank you very much.
Okay.
But I always kind of enjoyed chickenpox. Remember, my brother got it, so I got it.
Oh, no.
And then I could get out of school.
That's
and then
right,
when my sister got it, I went and displayed with her, and I didn't get it again. When my friends got it, I didn't get it again, and I really enjoyed the 2 weeks off from school.
Well, you can look forward to shingles.
I haven't had them yet.
Good. Okay, thanks again.
Thank you.
Speaking of that, I just returned from Fiji, where everybody ate lobster all the time, and I love lobster.
Mm-hmm.
Lobster does not love Bill. Is some of this going to... Can I sit under a light or listen to some music and enjoy lobster?
No, not exactly. But you can have an antidote made from the lobster. There may be something in the lobster.
I think it's probably iodine.
Doesn't like.
Lobster and
could,
shrimp. And
yes. A homeopath could run a test and find what that is and then give you something to take which would possibly... offset that.
So forever and ever, or do we have to do it...
No. Once it's offset,
it's offset.
Yes, oh yes.
Gotta find one of those.
Yeah.
Because lobster is so good. Okay, we have Lynn on the line. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm a first-time caller, although I listen to you all the time.
Well, where have you been, Lynn?
Well, trying to get through. I am in practice in Orange County, and doing what I call spectrosound therapy, but not in the medical sense, in the psychological sense. And I wonder if the doctor sees a connection there.
Oh, most definitely. We have quite a few in Europe who are psychiatrists, who are working in the same field as you're working in, who particularly use this instrument. That's why we've had to adapt it for their use, and they find they are getting very, very good results from it. We have also lectured in Sri Lanka, in India. Now, in that continent, a tremendous amount of the doctors there are trained in the, shall we say, the Eastern schools, where they evaluate the concepts of the chakras and the aura of the body, something which doesn't enter into Western medicine very much at the moment. And therefore, we've been able to adapt it so that it can be used in their concept of medicine. And they're getting excellent results from that as well.
Yes, I got most of my information from Gaudiali Dinshaw.
Yes, yes, that's right, yes.
And I utilize his book.
Mm-hmm.
He gives me the indication as to the physical application, and then I take the physical ailment and correlate that with the psychological meaning.
That's right. Well, you'd be an excellent student to train in the use of cymatics.
Yeah, I would love to.
Well, we welcome you in England at the school anytime.
And do you have research articles available?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. So
many
if I write to the address
if
earlier.
If you write to that address, and they can be sent to you, yes.
We're not going to spell it again for you, Len.
Oh, no need. I got it the second time around. Thank you very much.
All right, Len.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for
bye-bye.
Joining us tonight. It's 20 minutes past 11 o'clock on Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me is Dr. Peter Guy Manners. And we'll be back with you and the good doctor in just a moment.
How long the condition has been there and what damage has been done.
Mm-hmm.
But this can be checked. You would have to submit to a test so that we can find out how much damage has been done there.
Yeah, but I've been there. It's about 3 or 4 years now I have it.
Yes. But even if there is damage, a great deal of improvement can be achieved by cymatics.
It can?
Oh, yes.
And where can I go to get that treatment?
Well, until we've got a practitioner here in L.A., I'm afraid it's right the other side of the United States or into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But we hope within the very near future to have someone operating it closer to hand. And if so, that information can be passed on to you.
And we need to point out that having a practitioner in Los Angeles, all of the legal things, the licensing and all of that has already been cleared, and so it's all
that,
right
that,
to do that. You just don't happen to have one now.
That's so. Right. There'd be no problem with that, providing he is an M.D., you see.
Well, yes,
yes.
Yeah, I'd like to get someplace in Los Angeles.
Well, maybe one of these days it'll happen, Grace.
How long will I have to wait?
not long, we hope.
Not long?
I hope not.
Yeah, the idea is to acquaint you and the audience with the fact that there is this new thing that is on the medical horizon for us here in the Los Angeles area and in the United States. And it has a long and deep history of success, and that's the reason it is coming here.
You don't know how soon it'll be here, though.
Who knows? But they're working on it.
Okay, then.
Okay, Grace?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. And Edith, hello. Edith? Do I need to punch it again? Hello, Edith? Edith? Edith?
What type of, or rather, have you treated lupus with your procedure?
Can I have the question again?
Lupus.
Yes.
Have you treated lupus with your procedure?
No. We don't treat that with cymatics. We treat that with chromatology. This is using a formation of frequencies of light in color, and that can be treated for that condition.
What is lupus, by the way?
It's a skin condition.
It's a what?
Skin condition.
Lupus?
Yes.
My daughter has it, and they tell her it's a form of arthritis that will kill you in the end. Lupus, L-U-P-U-S.
Lupus.
Lupus.
Well, I'm not quite sure on that one. I'd have to check that up for you.
Uh-huh.
We have a condition which is called lupus in the United Kingdom, which is a skin complaint.
No.
It's a kind of fungoid skin complaint.
No.
No.
No, it is not this.
Then it is an arthritic condition.
Yes, it is.
It is. Well, if it's an arthritic condition, then yes, this can be treated by cymatics.
Supposedly, it sooner or later attacks a vital organ, and that does mean death.
Yes, well, in that case, I mean, the sooner treatment is given, the better. Because, I mean, it may be able to be stopped, but a full examination would have to be carried out first.
Okay, can I ask you another question? Now,
yes?
I got in on the last of this, and there is a clinic in Toronto, and where is the other clinic?
Saskatchewan. That's in Canada. Yes.
I understand that.
Yes.
Okay.
But we hope very soon to have one in Nevada and also one in Arizona.
Again, it would be a little chancy to that we would tune in at the right time to get this information on the Open Mind program, right?
Yes.
Well, we can do that, or you can certainly write
you
Dr.
Can
Manners.
Write, you can write direct to me if you wish, yes.
And we've given the address, and we will have it for your broadcast information.
How about the address in Toronto? I have another friend that might be interested in going up there shortly.
Well, if you write to me at my address, I'll send you the clinic concerned.
You know, I'm sorry, but I got in later, and I did not get the address.
You didn't get the address.
I'm sorry.
If you will check Monday with Lita in broadcast information, that number is 557.
557.
7365.
7635.
No, 7365.
I'm sorry.
7365.
7365.
And she'll get it on to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Edith. Thank
Bye-bye.
You very much.
Thank you.
And we have Jean on the line. Hello, Jean.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk to you about drusen in both eyes and this pre-retinal macular fibrosis, in particularly in the left eye. And it's with central M-A-C-U-L-A-R, macular edema. Are you able to treat that? I guess it's near like hardening of the arteries.
It is, yes. It's
and you have, we at the moment have peripheral vision.
Yes.
And have to turn sideways in order to look at something.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I noticed from somebody else's call in a few moments ago that you wanted to know how long it had existed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
We can still drive a car.
Yes.
And, because the left eye is worse than the right eye. Do you treat this? He's under the care of Dr. Alan Krieger at at USC.
Yes.
But, oh my, he would leave for England day after tomorrow if you have...
Well, we haven't actually treated a case of that ourselves, but yes, there's every possibility that a lot could be done to help that condition, because it is a hardening of a narrowing of the artery, and it's becoming blocked, you see, that's
yes,
what's happening,
uh-huh.
You see, and then the aperture becomes smaller. Well, if you can release the pressure within that artery and get the plaque which is forming on the inside to move, then that opens that up, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends, of course, how hard that is set, how much it is set, how much damage has been done to the wall itself, you see. But we haven't actually treated a case of that, but there's every possibility that it would respond to it.
I see. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
As soon as we have someone operating at the two clinics near, it would be advisable perhaps for them to visit.
Oh, at the price of a dollar today, we could go there.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Okay, Gene.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right,
bye
thank
bye.
You for checking in with us. You're listening to Open Mind tonight. I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me, Dr. Peter Guy Manners. As we hit the 11:30 mark, got about a half hour to go. We'll try to get to as many of you as we can. Chemicals and whatnot. And we have Bill on the line. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Bill. This is Bill speaking.
Hi.
This is very interesting. First of all, is this thing, can you control it? I mean, all people aren't the same.
Control what?
Well, you said you had control, or you had a control on it when you're talking about this, whatever it does.
Are you referring to the instrument that we
yeah.
use?
Yeah.
Can you control it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, it's under perfect control, yes.
Will the
yes.
people be able to do that themselves?
I see what you mean. All right, I've got your question
yeah.
now. We have an instrument or at least one of the instruments, which is for individual use. Now, if a person has a condition which requires repeated treatment over long periods of time, in other words, if they've had, we say, rheumatism or arthritis over a long period of time, and it can't be actually cleared because too much structural damage is taking place, if they have a daily or a treatment every other day with cymatics, it will help to keep them mobile. It will stabilize the condition so that they can move. So we have a small instrument in which a prescription, we call it a prescription because that is what is set onto the magnetic field of the tape in the instrument, and the patient can give themselves their own treatment daily or whatever is prescribed for them.
Are these going to be expensive?
Are they expensive?
Yeah.
I think this one is 800. It's 800, that one, isn't it? Or 750. Mark one. No.
We're having a conference over here.
No, I'm not quite sure of the cost of the instruments. I deal with the instruments, but I'm not quite sure of the cost of them. I think if you're really interested, write to me, and we'll send you over the list and the illustration of them so that you can see what they look like. All right?
Let me ask you another.
Yes?
I've got a hiatal hernia.
Yes.
Does it do anything for
you? Oh, yes. Yes, it'll help that, yes.
It will help that.
Yes, yes.
You said you have pads. Where would you put them for that?
Well, if with the instrument, all the instructions as to how and to where you place them is supplied with the instrument for every condition.
And what do they make the pads of? Are they soft or what?
Yes, yes, they're soft, but the internal part of the pad itself is of a form of metal galls. Because you don't hear, when you use this, you don't hear any sound. You're only using the basic energy contained within sound.
I see. Listen, I'm an Englishman. I've got the flu at the moment, so I don't sound too good.
Can you speak up just a little bit there?
Yeah.
Flu or whatnot.
I'm an Englishman.
Oh, good, that's fine.
I just had the flu, so I'm a bit floaty.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but that's very fashionable. We've all got that, you know.
Wasn't there somebody went over here to England a few years back teaching that thing?
Oh, we've had many people over from there, yes. Yes.
From America, I mean.
Yes, we've had many over to our clinic over there being taught this technique.
No, I mean, wasn't there a man that was teaching it from here?
Oh, not as far as I know. No, I don't know of one.
When I was over there, I thought I heard something about this. Years ago.
Oh. Well, I... How many years ago would that be?
God knows now. I guess it must have been about 15 or something, maybe more. I'm not sure.
No, well, we've been doing it at our clinic. It's been in use in our clinic and experimental research buttons for the last 20 years.
So that's not getting into the computer there, Bill. Does that help you?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much for being with us tonight. And Elizabeth is on the line. Hello, Elizabeth.
Oh, hello, Dr. Vanders and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
My husband has cardiomyopathy.
Yes.
The heart muscle is damaged, and
yes.
I wondered if in your treatment you could reverse the damage that the heart muscle has.
You don't reverse the damage that the heart muscle has, but if you took a sounding on that heart muscle, the frequency would have changed. So what you do is to implant, it's like a transplant, you transplant the corrected frequency back into the muscle structure, and this gradually brings it back into line again. This is how the treatment actually functions and works.
Oh, I see. What about the prostate gland, you know, where the gland is enlarged?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, this can also be treated by it, yes?
By the sound waves?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Not at all.
All right, Elizabeth.
Thank
Glad
you.
To have you aboard. You know, for those that just joined us, we're talking to Dr. Peter Guy Manners tonight, and this new approach to medicine is one that involves sound and light and color. Peter, do you want to sort of recap just a little bit what you're doing for those who have joined us since earlier in the evening?
Well, can we just touch on another point,
which
I think is extremely interesting, and that is that the cymatic instrument can control pain. If you have an injury anywhere on the body, We all know medically and scientifically that the pain is not in the area concerned. The pain is actually in the brain. So therefore, if you have an injury, we say, to your arm, lower part of the arm, a signal has to go from the arm to the brain before the brain registers the amount of pain. Now, for a long time, the medical profession has realized the fact that about 75% of the body's energy is wasted in adapting itself or tolerating the pain, and therefore the healing process is retarded. So therefore, medically, we inject morphia or any other of the drugs to deaden down the pain. Because if we deaden down the pain, then the healing process is speeded up. But we know too well now that if we use morphia or any of these drugs, we create side effects. We block off the pain, but we create other effects in its place. So therefore, it is not particularly good. Now, if there was some way in which we could block off the pain without creating any side effects, this would be a great asset. And cymetics can do this. And the way it does it is comparatively simple. What you do is to place the applicator above the seat of the injury, and the brain only receives the signal that you're transplanting into the structure. In other words, if there is damage to the torn ligaments or torn muscles, the frequency pattern within those ligaments and muscles will have changed due to the injury. Therefore, the brain is receiving that changed signal, hence the depth of pain. So if we transmit or transplant into the structure above the seat of injury using one of the meridian points of the body, we can convey to the brain the corrected signal. In other words, we block off the synapse of pain. And by doing this, the healing process is speeded up. We're now adapting this now to be able to use in labor cases for pregnancy. Instead of the mother having to use gas or any of the injections, very soon they will be able to use this technique. Small pads will be placed at the pelvis at the back, and the mother can control it herself from her bedside by increasing the blockage into the nerve center. Now, this will create no damage, no harm to the fetus, and the mother will be relieved of the pain. I think this is extremely interesting.
That is very interesting. You know, I have found a way to get rid of pain. I have in my home a Neurophone. I don't know whether you're familiar with Dr. Patrick Flanagan's Neurophone.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly was intended as a painkiller at all. It's a way to bypass the eighth auditory nerve and get information into your subconscious. But in the process, one of its interesting side effects is that that produces endorphins.
Yes.
And at a rather high rate. And
the
first time I discovered this was when I broke my foot.
Yes.
Skiing down the slopes of San Moritz, of course. Actually, I was just getting out of the car. Bob's a big boy. Broke my foot. And while I was sitting there with my foot in a cask, hurting like the dickens, I decided to learn some scientific information using the Neurophone, and the pain went away.
Yes.
And I asked Patrick about that, and he said, oh, yes, that's happening. So anytime that a painful situation comes up, I put on the Neurophone, which is using the science that you're talking about, perhaps in a different way.
Yes.
But letting the body cure its own pain.
We have found in this last, year of our further research into it, that this is one of the things that is happening by using cymatics, by inducting sound into the human anatomy or structure.
Mm-hmm.
You activate the endophorin secretion and therefore block off pain. You can interrupt the signal through. You can activate chemical values within the body. You can increase the hormone outputs, glandular action. So many other things now have come into the orbit of this particular form of treatment. It started off by being a simple, straightforward thing, and we find that there are so much more involved with it now.
I also remember when I broke my foot, Dr. Manners, that when we went back 2 days later, that those breaks in my foot, and I'm a 50-year-old man, I was 48 at the time,
yes,
were totally healed.
Yes. Well, this again would be sound. Sound induction will speed up the unification of bone much quicker. If you put sound into where you have structures, where you have fractures, if you put sound into there, you will speed it up by almost 50%.
So it does work. You know, I'm walking around very well these days. We have Barbara on the line. Hello, Barbara.
Oh, yes, Bill. I'm glad to talk to you again. I'm a third-time caller. The last time I talked to you was when Shirley MacLaine was on.
Well, yes.
And I think you're some kind of a miracle healer, can get somebody on there to help someone. This little boy, I call him my grandson, but he's not really my grandson, but he's that close. He's a little 5-month preemie, and I just thought maybe Dr. Manners, I just found out, they kept it from me, that he has epilepsy, but he was in a totaled automobile accident, and he cannot walk anymore. But just before that, they had taken him to an osteopathic doctor, and because he would stumble, he had just started walking, and his little his birthday, premature birthday, was in August, which he wouldn't have been until December. I just wonder if this automobile accident, after the accident, he stopped walking. He still has feeling in his legs, but he has no strength to stand up on, and he's in Sinai Hospital now.
How old is he now?
He was born 5 months premature, and his birthday was last August, and he started walking.
You mean this last August, like 6 months ago?
Uh-huh.
Well, he has no business walking anyway.
No. He was 2 years old.
Oh, I see.
He's two and a half now.
I was thinking this kid was starting life, but he was sure walking early.
No, I said this. He was so premature, and he walked a little late because he...